I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, we just began discussing NATO, and what I'm liking about NATO is that a lot of countries have stepped up, I think, really at my behest, and also yourself, you're close to the level. But they stepped up and they put up a lot of money. I think it was $130 billion. And that's a lot. They're now stepping up again. It's going to be $400 billion over the very show. We have commitments for $400 billion.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Andy Frye Show. It's great to be with you. I still don't feel great, but here I am. How are you guys? Did you have a great Thanksgiving?
Great Thanksgiving. And the one thing that I did over Thanksgiving break that I do not regret is that just like...
Wait, does that imply that you regret the rest of the things
Some of it...
I want to hear about the regrets. I don't want to hear about
the... Okay, well, then I'll tell this story.
Ryan's had a few.
But you know how you watched all the Marvel movies in chronological order?
Yes, not how they were released to the public, how the story goes.
In the timeline order.
Yes.
I did the same with the Dumb and Dumber franchise.
I'm sorry. Is this the regret?
No. Oh. No, that's why I said there's no regrets to doing this.
Just shows how everything is relative.
All three movies, and I even tried to watch apparently the TV show, which was just terrible. It was a cartoon.
I don't even know these things exist. You've already said more than I care to know.
I know.
So you did that?
Watched them all the way through.
Which was the worst?
When Harry Met Lloyd, the first one was the worst.
Oh, man.
The sequel, the recent one, is legitimately funny.
Okay.
So President Trump is at the London summit in NATO.
Ryan what he did over Thanksgiving.
My first regret just happened. But it's funny to me to think that the president is at NATO, which we discussed before we came on the air. Is he at NATO? Is that how you say it? And Frank wisely rearranged the sentence so you feel good about it. He's in London at the NATO summit.
At the NATO summit.
I want to say he's just at NATO. I think we can all say that's okay.
You can say that. That's okay.
But he's met with Macron. And he's met with Trudeau, and let's see here, Trump meets with world leaders at NATO summit as Democrats move ahead with impeachment inquiry. I mean, that's the summation of the whole thing.
Yeah.
What's going on in the world stage? Anytime the president goes overseas to represent the United States, there is a policy that you allow the president to represent everybody overseas. And you kind of shelve the things that are hyper-political that divide us as Republicans and Democrats while he's overseas. And then when you come back, we just fight like cats and dogs. Well, that's not happening. They're trying to unseat the president of the United States. So if you tuned in to hear that, let's first talk about Dumb and Dumber 42.
No, Dumb and Dumber 2, which is actually the third one.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
By design. And it gets you.
Oh, yeah.
You get it.
And it's spelled T-O.
Two. Oh, man, I can't even handle that.
You shouldn't.
I'm a bit of a grammar Nazi. Can we even say that? Grammar Nazi anymore?
Sure, you can say that.
Yeah. You can say
a lot
of things.
I'm a grammar Stalinist.
Fair enough. Well, Katie is taking her second day off, mostly because we had our work Christmas party last night, which I did not attend because I was still under the weather and still am a little bit. But she is recovering from being medium drunk.
Well, we don't know.
Oh, I know.
After 10.
She was medium drunk at one point.
Sure. You got to get to medium before you can get to all the way.
No, she had a great time. Everybody had a great time. And so thank you for being with us today. Frank is in with it for Katie right now. What?
Breaking news.
This just happened.
Senator Kamala Harris will drop out of the 2020 race.
They say that like, obviously, she'll drop out sometime.
Yeah, hasn't happened yet,
it's allegedly happening today. She's she
just run the scroll of all the Democratic nominees.
It's interesting timing because just last night, the first poll came out showing that Bloomberg was ahead of Harris, and I wonder if that was the final nail in the coffin because she was already struggling. She pulled out of New Hampshire completely. She was focusing on Iowa,
mm-hmm.
But once you're down in the, she wasn't even going to make the next debate stage. with the numbers she was having.
Well, real quick, we are streaming live on Facebook today. They weren't doing it yesterday because I wasn't here. And that's not because we don't, we're not allowed to stream. I'm just the one who usually does it. And Katie, and neither of us were here. But I did notice that Katie just joined the web chat right now. So I wonder if she heard us talking about her being medium drunk and then got on, or if she just heard that right now. Oh, she's there. She says medium drunk. So if you want to chat with Katie for as long as she is on the web chat at night or at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow, you can watch us live. You can chat along with the show there. Katie will be there for however long Katie is there. This is not constructed. So Frank is in for Katie today. How was your Thanksgiving?
I'm not watching the show on Facebook.
No, you're not.
I don't have the stream over
you're
here.
You're watching the show.
I watch the show
you
live.
You are the show.
Part of the show.
Yes.
It was wonderful. Everybody came to our house, so we didn't have to go anywhere.
This is a first for you guys with
first
Felix.
First for Felix, yes.
Not your first Thanksgiving.
Right, yes. Our first Thanksgiving was a long time ago. No, absolutely, it was fun. It was great because we didn't have to go anywhere. We weren't jumping all over the place, going to different houses. Everybody came to us.
Mm-hmm. That is
so
great.
So we just kind of hunkered down all day.
Was it big?
Had a lot of food.
Pretty big family?
16 people, including
That's
Felix.
Big.
Yeah. We were all at one big table, though, so it was nice.
Yeah. I have a dream of
Do
a,
you?
I do. I have a dream, that's it, of a gigantic table that will fit 2 dozen people. Mm-hmm. But then you need a room.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Leaves.
Yeah, that's true. That table will be useful for you like 4 times a year if you're lucky. Then you've got a massive table.
All of these house update TV shows say, oh, we love to entertain. We need entertaining space. How often do you really use that space?
No.
How often do you really use that?
In your normal everyday life, you're not using your entertaining space. You're not using your cool patio.
No.
Or whatever they're building on. Mm-hmm. Those shows drive me crazy. Because I have a wife who watches those shows and goes, wouldn't it be nice if we did that?
It would be nice. Yeah, and then you're
be nice.
Paying to heat and cool that square footage that you're not using.
Yeah, and pay the taxes in Illinois.
Yeah, no joke. So we're going to watch. We were talking about Trump at NATO, and then we look up at the screen, and Kamala Harris is going to drop out. I'm happy that she's dropping out only because I still don't know how to correctly say her name, and now I won't have to. I've learned how to say Buttigieg, but I'm not sure if it's Kamala or Kamala.
Kamala.
I don't know.
Kamala.
I think that I've heard her say that.
It's just easier to say Kamala because the word looks like that.
Yeah. That's how everybody was saying it until she kind of gained enough notoriety that people were having to say it more frequently.
Right.
The interesting thing about her dropping out of the race... I have 2 theories on this.
Okay.
One, I think she was the Obama chosen one and it never took off. So the reason Obama has not endorsed anyone is because he wanted to endorse her and it wasn't happening. And he didn't want to throw his endorsement out there for somebody who wasn't going to be able to ride it into the sunset. And the second thing reason I think that she's taking her name out is because I think she is a very viable vice presidential candidate.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So because if a white person... Especially a white man, Joe Biden. I don't know if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can... Kamala Harris can partner together, but we've seen crazier things happen. But, you know, like, Joe Biden's been out there, and he's been like, well, I've got 4 women who I definitely am considering to be my vice president. I'm like, 4 women? How many men have you considered? Are no men in... Like, I don't want to live in the world where... we need to show diversity, so can I get some chicks in here? You know, some might call that a binder full of women. Makes me mad. So anyway, Kamala Harris will drop out of the 2020 race. That is the news. I think it sounds as though they're just predicting that it's probably about time she consider it, but that is an official Fox News alert there. So let's do some highlights.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
Well, just when you thought things were about to slow down for the holidays, get ready. Congress is gearing up for a chaotic end-of-the-year scramble on multiple fronts. Lawmakers have just 15 days in session to wrap up legislative items with a list that includes impeachment proceedings, funding the government, defense authorization trade deals like USMCA, and the Violence Against Women Act. Some of these items could spill over to the new year, but impeachment and government funding have self-imposed deadlines. The House and Senate are currently scheduled to leave town by December 13th, but members are already planning to stick around until late December as they try to finish up their legislative work and prepare for the next phase of impeachment.
How prepared are you for an earthquake? Anybody?
I'm prepared to panic.
Yeah, prepared.
Prepared to freak out.
Like, we know the plan.
Yeah. Well, the Missouri Emergency Management officials want to make sure you are. They're purchasing a $200,000 machine that will simulate earthquakes and bring that demonstration vehicle to areas around Missouri, like the Boot Heel, for residents to experience the 5 to 10 seconds of an 8.0 earthquake.
Dang.
Is that not supposed to sound fun?
That is, well,
because yeah. It kind of sounds fun.
We'll do it.
Think about how long 5 seconds is, and then it could be 5 to 10 seconds. I mean, that's an eternity in something shaking like this. The inside of the simulator is decorated like a small house to illustrate how pictures and other household items can become projectiles if not properly secured. And we're in December. And that was when Ibon Browning predicted the big earthquake back in the 90s. And Carl and I remember that.
I remember that. My mom has a t-shirt that had, I can see it. Like, I remember she used to work in the yard with this t-shirt on, but it was the big earthquake or the big one or something like that. Yeah, I remember, I think, would it have been like 1990, 1991?
It was 90.
90? Yeah. I was in first grade dating myself, and we did so many earthquake drills.
Exactly, yeah.
Specifically for the big one.
All right. If you've been wanting to watch The Irishman on Netflix, but you said 3.5 hours is too long, a Swedish entertainment journalist has told you how to make it a miniseries. You watch the first 49 minutes, and that is called I Hear You Paint Houses. And then you watch episode 2 would be 49 to an hour and 40. That's called Hoffa. Episode 3 would be called, well, What a Kettle of Fish, and that's from 1 hour and 40 minutes to 2 hours and 47 minutes. And then the final act would be It Is What It Is, which is 2 hours and 47 minutes to 3.5 hours.
Netflix should just release long-form movies like that where you can watch it as a whole or just make them episodes.
True.
Quentin Tarantino did that with Hateful Eight. He did that. But when asked about this, Martin Scorsese said, it is a movie, not a miniseries.
Yeah.
Don't mess with my stuff.
That's my art. The Blues picked up a road win over the Chicago Blackhawks last night, 4-0 at United Center. Jake Allen picking up the shutout, the 20th of his career, moving him into a tie for second place in shutouts in franchise history with former Blue Yaroslav Halak. Allen is 5-1 on the year. The Blues continue their road swing with the most points in the Western Conference when they visit the Penguins on tomorrow evening. On the hardwood, the Illini lost to the University of Miami 81-79 in Champaign. Mizzou hosts Charleston Southern tonight at 7 at Mizzou Arena.
So, all right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak with somebody you've heard of before, George Papadopoulos. The IG report coming out next Monday, and then Horowitz to testify next Wednesday. George Papadopoulos is at the heart and soul of the entire discussion about how did we start looking into President Trump for collusion with Russia and then find out later that none of that ever happened. Part one of the Mueller report, not volume two, folks. Don't call me. Well, you can call me and you can yell at Carl.
Yep.
Carl filling in today for Frank, who's filling in today for Katie. Thank you for being with us. You can stream us live right now on Facebook, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Katie is potentially still in the chat. She can say hi if she is. Someone said they're going to stay on the Facebook here until Katie is not medium drunk, that she's full drunk. I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't know she was going to be there. facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. You can check us out there. And George Papadopoulos joins us when we come back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday, and I hope you guys are all doing great out there. There's some kind of funk going around in my house, and yesterday I was not here.
Who's got the funk?
That's a song, right?
I was just asking you about your house.
That's a joke.
No.
Are we laughing? We are laughing.
Oh, we're having a good time now.
We are laughing. Ha 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 ha. Now we're laughing. Yeah.
So who's sick?
Well, so thank you. Thanks, Frank, for bringing it back. My son was sick Thanksgiving night, and he came home and he just puked. But that's because he's 9. He will not stop eating. He doesn't understand there is a maximum level of eating that a human should do. I think he actually is always hungry. But you know how, like, what does it take your body 30 minutes to determine the level of full that you actually are or something?
I don't know.
It takes him longer.
I encourage him to continue to eat as much and as long as he can, because most people hit a point in their life where they can no longer eat whatever they want as much as they want.
I don't think 9-year-olds need to do that.
Not 9-year-olds can do whatever they want. Mm-mm. And through a lot of times through college, a guy's metabolism especially stays really
suck.
High.
Really?
And you're just able to burn through it?
You burn right through everything you eat. When I first started college, they kept saying, oh, you're going to get the freshman 10. Never did.
10? Is it just women who get the freshman 15?
Apparently.
Jeez.
But I never got that at all. So.
It's the patriarchy.
And so I just kept eating right on through my mid to late 30s.
So do you guys on Thanksgiving, do you go all out? Is it like, let's sit down and let's just eat some serious food and you throw caution to the wind?
Oh, yeah.
I actually think I eat less on Thanksgiving than I eat on a normal day. I'm so worried that I'm going
You're
to overdo it.
Doing too much.
Well, but also, and I'll say this is one of the things, Slim 180 that sponsors the show that has helped me lose over 40 pounds this year. It's really changed. You know how your eyes can be bigger than your stomach mm-hmm. and what you think you can eat versus what you can actually eat is usually quite a variance. One of the things about getting in shape and losing that weight is that I just don't need to eat very much food. If I were to go all out like that on a holiday, I would be so miserable. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things that I really appreciate about the lifestyle change that Slim 180 has helped me do is that I just don't have this appetite to gorge myself on food.
Now, are you surprised by the portion sizes when you go out places or when people fix you a plate at a party?
I can go to a sit-down restaurant. Doesn't have to be a fancy restaurant, sure. You know, your neighborhood Applebee's mm-hmm. or whatever. I can have my food, and by have, I mean half it. Take half of it, put it in a to-go box before I start eating, and I still won't finish the food.
Because you know that you've cut down the portion size.
And good. For me, visually... If I have put half of the food away and then I get to start enjoying my food, if I then go and enjoy everything that's left on my plate, I know that I've only had half of it. Mm-hmm. And chances are I'm not really a leftover person. I don't like leftovers. So my husband will eat the rest of it anyway. And it's a really good way to cut down on what you're willing to consume just because it's in front of you. So do you throw caution to wind on Thanksgiving?
Everybody does.
Except for
you had just one big meal.
Yeah.
I don't think I had breakfast that day. I clearly didn't have dinner. I just had one large lunch.
Mm-hmm. It's a glorious day.
It really is.
Thanksgiving is maybe my favorite holiday to just sit and enjoy. I love Christmas. I got to play Christmas music here in that last segment, mm-hmm. so I was happy about that. But Christmas it's like a full contact sport. So much goes into Christmas that you can blink and miss the whole thing.
Around food like Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is so much else.
It's
Thanksgiving is just the meal.
Yeah.
So you really got to go out. There were three pies at the meal.
Is it common that everybody on Christmas
salads.
Does appetizers? Is that kind of what everybody does?
No.
For food?
Yeah. I mean, we'll do a Christmas dinner at my grandma's house, but most of the events are just constant grazing.
Right.
For
that's
an
what I mean.
Entire
Oh, okay.
So yeah, grazing and just getting little things, shrimp and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Because you're going so many different places.
And you're doing so much. You don't have time to kind of sit down and eat, just like Annie said.
Well, we're going to reconnect with George Papadopoulos at 1:10, I believe. So stick around because we are going to have him on. Also, we're going to have, I'm really excited for this 2 o'clock guest, Aubrey Huff. And you're thinking, Aubrey Huff, I know that name. He played for the San Francisco Giants, won a few championships there. He's going to be on with us at 2:10. I'm really excited about this. He tweeted out something about taking his kids to the gun range to teach them how to use guns and respect guns and understand the responsibility that being able to operate a gun is. And he said he was doing this because if Bernie Sanders beats Donald Trump in the 2020 election, everybody's going to have to know how to use guns if socialism takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And he got hammered on Twitter. And with every punch that was thrown at him, he dipped, dodged, dived, ducked, and dodged and threw it right back at him. And it was so funny.
He was straight up roundhouse kicking
yes.
celebrities in the face
yes.
on Twitter.
Kathy Griffin, Tom Arnold, and then some other people who weighed in the sports industry, some other people who weighed in the political realm. And he is just like, listen, this is what I am. This is who I am. This is the kind of father I am. And I fear nobody. So Aubrey Huff is going to join us at about 2:10. So please stick around for that. While we're talking about Christmas here, did you guys hear the Peloton Christmas controversy?
Mm-mm. Yes.
Do you know what a Peloton is?
Mm-mm.
It is a really fancy exercise bike. And
oh, now I know.
It has the TV on it.
Very expensive.
It's like almost $2,500.
Yeah, and it comes like with live instructional videos and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can race along and do
interact.
The right workouts.
It's social. Like they know, the people who are leading the workouts know you're there and you know that you're part of this whole thing. And so there was a commercial for Peloton bikes because Christmas is coming. So there are commercials for every product that exists out there right now. And this commercial has caused a lot of controversy. And I want to encourage you to go to 971talk.com/Annie if you would like to watch the whole commercial. But listen to this.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Now.
A Peloton? Give it up for our first time ride.
All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am.
6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go, Grace in Boston. 50 rides.
She just said my name. A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me. Thank you.
This holiday, give the gift of Peloton.
So the commercial is saying, hey, Christmas is coming. Maybe somebody in your life would love a Peloton bike. In the commercial, a husband gives his wife a Peloton bike. And everybody freaks out because the husband is fat shaming and body shaming this wife. How dare you give an piece of exercise equipment to your wife? I will add in here that this woman that was cast for this role of wife in the commercial looks like she's riding a Peloton bike 6 times a day.
Right.
Even somebody who is like my size, I just look like an average human being. I'm not super skinny. I'm not, overweight. Thanks, Lemonady. But I would be cast in there, and then you could say, he must want her to lose some weight. She's tiny.
I thought the same thing when I saw that commercial. Like, why is she needed the bike?
She's not being fat shamed. She's got no fat.
Yeah.
So
she could use that sandwich you're eating over there.
That's right. Food is fuel.
So give me a break, people. You want to sit, and I say everybody's freaking out. This is the point. Not everybody is freaking out. Some idiots are freaking out about this. Some idiots found an opportunity to take a story and run with it and be the squeaky wheel. And please spare me your faux outrage. It's absolutely ridiculous. Maybe this husband knew that this wife is a crazy busy person. Maybe she's a mom. Maybe she's a full-time employee.
Maybe she asked for the bike.
Yeah.
Maybe she said something one time like she would love a Peloton bike and he bought it for her.
Or had magazine ads taped up around the house as hints.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe she spends $50 a month on a gym membership that she can't quite fit into her daily schedule. And what he gave her was the gift of time, which is the most priceless thing that a working mom can have. I'm not speaking from experience at all. But just to be able to get up and go work out in your own house if it's something that is very important to you, maybe this husband gave her the most valuable thing ever to the tune of $2,500 or something in a Peloton bike because he knew that it would give her more time in the day. But the point is, it was a 30-second commercial of a fake married couple, and everybody wants to come out here and say he was fat shaming this woman who weighs 75 pounds. I don't get it.
Can you imagine living your life in a way that you were turning over every stone everywhere you went looking for a reason to be offended?
I'm sad for you if that's the way you live your life.
I'm shocked that they're not a real married couple.
Well, we don't know that, Frank.
Well, I guess
Annie just said they're a fake married couple.
Okay.
That could be fake news. I don't know.
That might be fake news. We're going to have to look up the Peloton couple.
I'm just assuming that because they were in a commercial together, that maybe that they were fake. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, how you doing?
I'm great. Don't I sound great right now? I sound a little.
Oh yeah, you sound fabulous. Hey, shout out to the panties real quick.
Oh yeah, hi fans.
Hey, in reference to this Peloton commercial, it's funny because as we're speaking, I'm driving the back way. Governor's Parkway to the cyclery shop to go check out a few treadmills for my wife. Okay. It's between the Peloton, the Nautilus, and Bowflex.
And how is your wife? Does she know you're doing this?
Actually, she's the one that wanted the Peloton, and I looked at the price on the Peloton treadmills, and I laughed. I was like, yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know about the Peloton.
But I mean, 24 months, 0%. Hey, you can't pass that. But yeah, people have just gone way too sensitive, and that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
And shout out to Aubrey Huff, man. He's my hero now.
Well, he's going to be on here at 2:10, so stick around. Thanks for the call, Mark, and I appreciate it. If people don't know what the fannies are, I think it's important for me to dictate that there is a group of very dedicated listeners to the show who were listening to me on Saturdays. Jimmy is their leader. There's a flag or something they fly on Twitter that's got somebody, it just says the word fanny. I don't know what the purpose, the original GIF was for, but they have deemed themselves the fannies.
Because they're fans of Annie.
Yeah, you see how that works?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's one of those words that kind of works, and some situations it's kind of weird.
Kind of sounds awkward.
I love it, though.
The fanny pack. We can call them that, too.
There you go.
So I just want to clarify. If you go on Twitter and hashtag fannies with, I think it's F-A-N-E-E-S, you can search the people who are a member there, and you can request membership. I am a supporter of this group because they are a supporter of mine, but I do
not
attend.
Not a member.
I do not attend the board meetings, but I appreciate them.
Can you imagine if you showed up at the board meeting, though? They would be like, oh my gosh,
maybe
she's
if
here.
I brought donuts, maybe. I don't know. Let's talk to Patrick Toohey when we come back. He's going to talk about missed opportunities with businesses here in St. Louis. Patrick Toohey of the Show Me Institute when we come back, and Aubrey Huff at 2:10. We'll be right back. Happy Giving Tuesday. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Giving Tuesday here in a little bit later on down the show. If you're watching us on our Facebook live stream, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, go like the page. You'll see I am wearing a hoodie sweatshirt that has a heart on it right now. This is from the Ollie Hinkle Heart Foundation, which is an organization that's been very near and dear to some my best friends who have a heart baby. If you don't know what a heart baby is, that means that it's a congenital heart, that there is a congenital heart defect that affected them at birth. And then you have to go through life living a very different experience than you would if it wasn't there. And my dear friends had baby Henry, who had open heart surgery 8 weeks old. So if you've ever had a child and you know how stressful it is to have a newborn baby, add to that the stress of having to go through that newborn tiny little baby go through open heart surgery. And it is something that even from a distance, when I've seen it happen to my best friends, it was very overwhelming. And I would say that's how I got connected to the Ollie Hinkle Heart Foundation. And what they do is they reach out and they help these families who, when you get pregnant and you're having a baby, you expect the normal expenses, but this type of a lifestyle change and this curve that gets thrown at you. There's no way you could prepare for it, even when you do know ahead of time, and not every family has the opportunity to. So I'm going to talk a little bit more later on about the Ollie Hinkle Heart Foundation. And if you are in the giving mood today on Giving Tuesday, that is one of the places that I would like you to consider, because they've been great to my friends, and they do great work here in St. Louis. So that's a sweatshirt that I'm wearing. A local nonprofit that is helping local people in a really, really great way. Speaking of local businesses and enterprises, we're welcoming to the show now Patrick Toohey of the Show Me Institute, the Senior Fellow of Municipal Policy. Patrick, it's great to have you on the show today.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you.
Absolutely. So I'm reading this article. It was in bizjournals.com, and it suggests that St. Louis is in the top 10 untapped cities for startups. You might know a little bit of why that is. What can you tell us?
Well, I live in Kansas City, but I always enjoy my trips out to St. Louis. I love the city, and it's got an awful lot going on. And the Business Journal published a study a little while ago that demonstrated that. Mm-hmm. A study by Fundera just said, you know, there's an awful lot of opportunity, untapped cities for startups and things like that. But a subsequent study out of Arizona State University looked at an awful lot, 66 cities across the United States, and rated them on how easy it was to start a business, to employ workers. And overall, St. Louis came in about the middle of the 66 cities, but it really lagged when it came to starting a business and employing workers. And my fear is that St. Louis has so much to offer entrepreneurs, has so much to offer small businesses, but their regulatory environment, the expense of doing business, is canceling out those advantages. Right, it's chasing people out to the suburbs, and they're becoming too much of a burden. And so small businesses either don't happen in the city, or if they do, they people move across borders to maybe more convenient business-friendly environments. And it's really a way in which St. Louis, and again, St. Louis isn't alone, but cities kind of get in the way of the people who all they want to do is start a business, hire workers, and pay taxes. That should be a good thing.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Patrick Tuohy, the Senior Fellow of Municipal Policy at the Show Me Institute. What are some things that St. Louis could easily do, maybe with the leadership they already have in place or with a change in leadership, to make this a more business startup-friendly area to be?
I think one of the first things they need to do is just examine what are the requirements of starting a business in the city right now. Just kind of do an audit and say, of people who are starting businesses, small businesses, women-owned businesses, minority businesses, what are the things we ask of them, and what are the hurdles they have to go through? And it isn't necessarily the cost. Sometimes it's just the time. It's the overwhelming paperwork. And again, the city doesn't mean to dissuade people from being entrepreneurs, but they unintentionally put up barriers. So they could certainly do an audit. An awful lot of times it's licensing, it's occupational licensing that you have to be approved by your peers, because your peers sometimes have an incentive not to improve you because you're competition.
Patrick, think of when this is Ryan Wiggins. Hello, by the way.
Hello.
Long time no see. But you got me thinking. One of the things I've noticed about St. Louis that I can't figure out, so maybe you can straighten this out for me, is why do we have a tech sector here that seems like no other Midwestern city has? Like, we have a burgeoning tech sector for some reason.
You know, a lot of times it's just because you're the biggest city in a region,
okay,
right? And so people kind of just gravitate to you. What happens, for example, in all of Missouri is people from the more rural areas move into Kansas City, move into St. Louis. Sometimes it's because you will have a large existing employer, which just brings people in. So it may be, and a lot of times it is, if not all the times, just an accident of the businesses you have there, of the university. St. Louis is a great deal of excellent universities that just attract people. But once they're there and they decide to leverage that, the city, again, becomes an obstacle.
Patrick, let me ask you this question. When people have, especially in 2019, we're going into 2020, we have more opportunities at our fingertips today than we've ever had before regarding ways that we can start up businesses. A lot of things can be done from your home. So what's the advantage today in starting a business in a city like St. Louis, or maybe a city that has their act together and is more business friendly? Why should people consider going into a city as opposed to being offline or being online and not really in a brick and mortar downtown, a city like St. Louis?
So it depends on the service you're offering. And you're exactly right. People work remotely. They telecommute. Technology has allowed us to be everywhere and nowhere at the same time. I mean, the fact that I'm calling you from Kansas City to talk to your listeners in St. Louis is an example of that. Mm-hmm. But cities still are the densest populous centers of market creation. You know, you can drive an Uber anywhere in the state of Missouri, but you're going to do better in St. Louis. You're going to do better in Kansas City, Springfield, than you are in the rural areas. And it's true with Airbnb and other opportunities. So again, technology allows you to do all sorts of stuff with much less overhead, with much less startup effort, but you still want to be where the people are. And the people are still, and sometimes more and more often, people are still in the cities.
Mm, yeah. I know that there are some reports that have come out recently, specifically about St. Louis, and we tend to make the top of lists that aren't very flattering regarding violence or dangerous natures. Does that play into people not wanting to start businesses up in a city like St. Louis?
I think people want to take advantage of any opportunity that is afforded to them. Now, certainly St. Louis has some challenges. And part of it, of course, you're aware of, because the core of St. Louis is so small that oftentimes it is artificially at the top of some of these lists.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start a business, you want to go where the customers are. And to the degree that the St. Louis region is a good economy, that the people are there, your customer bases are there, that's where you want to be. The choice you have oftentimes is, are you going to operate out of O'Fallon? Are you going to operate out of the county? Or are you going to operate out of the city? And if St. Louis wants to attract people and grow their population, they've got to realize that they're in competition and that they need to be the most efficient, easiest, business-friendly market in the St. Louis area. And people, once they do that, people will migrate back into the city.
Well, Patrick Tuohy, the Senior Fellow of Municipal Policy at Shomi Institute, your insight is very valued here. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. It's the showmeinstitute.org if you are looking for more information on what they have to offer. A wonderful sponsor of this show, but also just loads and loads of great information available to you at showmeinstitute.org. We got a Fox News alert saying that the House Intel Dems have released their impeachment report. Is there anything that you know right now regarding what's out there yet? I mean, this just happened
now.
Yeah,
it's happening as we speak, but it looks like it's pretty true to form. It's Adam Schiff. It's the Democratic report detailing Trump's alleged Ukraine schemes, as CNN is putting it, of course. And we'll dig into it here in just a minute, though.
Yeah. So stick around. We can spend the next segment telling you what we know so far. Essentially, what happens, the Democrats put together a summary, a report of where they are at this point, and that's what they've released to us. You got something for us? I have something for you. Just 40 seconds more of me talking. You said when Frank held up his finger to tell me 1 minute, I thought you were saying, hold on a second.
Well, it does look like, since we have a minute, it does look like that this is setting up for them to move forward with impeachment. I don't think, which is why I'm saying it's status quo. It's what we expected. There's not really a bombshell coming out of this.
No. And the report is scheduled to be voted on this evening.
Listen to this here.
This is a witch hunt by the Democrats. It's a continuation. It's been going on now for 3 years. Actually, from before the election, it's been going on. You'll probably see that after the report is released on Monday or Tuesday. But this is just a witch hunt that's very bad for our country. But I'll tell you, it's been very unifying for the Republic.
So let's get the reaction to that report when we come back. What is in it? We don't know, but we're going to scramble, and we'll have it for you in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.